Hello, and welcome to Angel Answers with Amy Toy. We have a fun-filled show today for you. I'm very happy and very pleased to have Andrea Sabaka, also known as the Critter Doc, and her site is spiritanimalwisdom.com, and she is going to be answering some questions about how to read the energy of the animals, and I'm very honored to have her on. And just before we get into our interview with her and questions, I have a few announcements. Next week, we will not be having a live show. We're going to have a rerun with the Memorial Day holiday, and I understand Canada has Victoria Day today. So we're just going to have some, you know, we're just going to have a rerun of a show that I haven't chosen yet. We'll be taking calls if you want to call and have any questions, anything like that. For those in the U.S. and Canada, it's 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. And outside the U.S. and Canada, those international callers, it's area code 530-413-4522. And welcome, Andrea. We have the wonderful Andrea Sabaka, the Critter Doc. I hope I'm pronouncing your last name correctly. How you doing, Andrea?
Good, good. Thank you, Amy. How are you?
Good, good. Well, thank you for taking some time out to really educate us on the wonderful wisdom of animals. Andrea, how did you start this work? I'm just going to ask some questions and just, you know, just tell me whatever comes from your heart. How did you first discover your gifts? It's fascinating. People can even read animals. How did you get into this?
Well, I think, like a lot of people with gifts, they're born with it. I believe there's two things. People can learn to do things, and people can be born with gifts, or born with a gift that's kind of latent, it's buried in there, and something happens one day, it pops out, and then they decide to embellish on it, learn a little better, you know, learn a little more about how to use it. I actually didn't realize I had a gift until just a few years ago. I thought everybody could do it. So, it just didn't occur to me that it was anything different. I mean, as a small child, I always processed people kind of by their critter energy and their critter, what I saw about them that was animal-like. I always have been comfortable, more comfortable with the animal world than anything. You know, I was always happy running around the forest by myself as a kid. And so particularly with difficult people or big or scary people when I was a little kid, or just new people, being a little on the shy side, I would look at them very carefully, see the animal likeness or side of them, and decide, okay, now I know how to deal with that person. I didn't realize that I was doing something other people don't do. And then a little while ago, in a discussion, a forum discussion on Facebook, in a group by Agnes Fallow, somebody mentioned animal totems and just made a little spiel about it because he had a real love for wolves and something to do with wolves. And I kind of popped in on the middle of that conversation and said, oh, let's talk about that. And you know, I just started saying some things. There was silence, and then all of a sudden these messages came flooding in. Apparently people don't do that and wanted to know what I saw. So from there on it went. People started sending me their pictures, and I'd tell them what I saw. I did a reading, channeled into the critter. I had no idea who these people were, so, you know, I really had to trust my little inner voice and the guidance that I was getting from the critter realms, that it was information that would be useful to them, and it always was.
Well, that's great. So you refer to them as critters, not animals, because obviously you're a pet psychic or you're an animal psychic. You like to call yourself an animal seer. Is that true?
A seer in that I see, you know, I see.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it is what it is, a seer. A seer is somebody who sees kind of between the veil or past the veil, if you will, different things.
And I see that you grew up in Toronto. Not too far from me, I'm in the Western New York area. You grew up in Toronto. How is that different? You know, Toronto, from what I remember, is kind of metropolitan. You still, how did you grow up with animals? I mean, did you always have affinity with them?
Yep. We grew up on a street that was just covered with oak trees everywhere down near the shore in Toronto.
Okay.
And, you know, there were squirrels and raccoons and always critters around, people's pets and dogs and cats. That, you know, back then people weren't tying their animals up so much. So I was kind of the neighborhood kid that went around taking care of everybody's pets and talking to them and talking to the squirrels, freaking my mother out, thinking I was going to get rabies. Yeah, so I don't care if you're in the middle of New York City or, you know, out in the desert in Arizona, there's always some kind of animal around.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that because, you know, there's even when I lived, you know, I used to live around Buffalo, you know, even there were squirrels and rats and, you know, you're right, there's always animals running around somewhere and, you know, someplace, but I never had an affinity with them like you do. It's,
I guess you wouldn't think of it that way, but, you know, it's
yeah.
To me, it's a comfort. It would be, gosh, you know, it'd be a really sad thing indeed to look around and not see one. I think that's when we would start to know something's really wrong.
Exactly. Because the animals have such a connection with Mother Nature that we obviously have kind of maybe made dormant, you know, because of our own jadedness. Yeah, so the animals, you're an amazing lady. I was looking at your Facebook, and you have owls all over the place. Can you explain it to me? I love that. I love the owls.
That's a newer thing. That kind of comes from what I do as a volunteer at a wildlife center in Scottsdale here in Arizona. And I started it a couple of years ago, about 2.5 years ago, and I was blessed to be given an opportunity to work with owls. So my specific role when I started there was feeding and tending to injured and orphaned owls in the area. And I just developed a huge love for them. But I've always thought they were fascinating. And then it was really interesting. My own totem has always, always, always been a tiger. She's been there for as far back as I can remember and probably other lives. And one day I discovered that the nickname for the great horned owl is Tiger of the Sky. And I thought, well, hello, of course. That's why I can't, you know, there's no tiger rescues around here, but there's this wonderful facility that rehabilitates birds of prey, and how interesting that I landed right into the owl bin.
The owl bin. Yes, owls are. They are. I have a fascination with hawks myself.
Fantastic creatures too. They all are. I'm just fascinated by them all. They have different personalities and unique characteristics. They're all special in their own ways.
They are, and people think, well, you know, I have four cats here, and maybe you can talk to one of them if you don't mind. One has been not cooperating with the litter box, but, you know, they all have different personalities. It's amazing how, you know, one will be a whiner, the other one is more of the independent girl, and I love animals. I grew up with cats and dogs and goldfish and everything else around my house, too, raccoons, we had red foxes, we had all those animals, you know. But the animals, to me, I feel like they're the best teachers. And how do you get the impressions you do from the animals when you're reading an animal's energy? What kind of impressions do they send off to you, emit to you?
Well, that's an interesting question because there's all kinds of written guides about what a particular animal means, and a lot of it is pretty good information. What I go by is the animal's natural tendencies, what they are, what they tend to do, where they live, how they live, what makes them healthy, what their interesting individual gifts or characters are. And I take that information and somehow, and I can't really even explain how it happens, but it translates to the person that I'm doing this for. So although five people may have the same animal guide with them at any given time, that animal guide might be there for different reasons for that person, but all to do with what that animal is about. And they're there for that person at that particular moment in time to help them through something, guide them through something, teach them something, or protect them from something.
Okay. So when you're reading, let's say animals or people, the animal guides, do they talk to you? How do they communicate to you? Like, you know, I read angels and I see spirit guides and I see dead people and all that wonderful stuff. But you have a specialized gift, you know. How do you... I mean, when you're reading somebody like myself, let's say I have the hawk as a totem. Does that hawk talk to you, or what kind of? Or you just get impressions from that hawk? You know what I'm saying?
It's. I would say it's kind of like mental pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm looking, and I really do need to see the picture of the person that I'm doing this for, their face and their eyes, because the creature comes through their face and eyes to me. And okay. I'm seeing the person's face, but I'm also seeing the animal, and the information just comes. I don't know how to explain it. I don't sit and have a conversation with them.
Okay. Some people get that impression. We have conversations with these things, which we don't. We just get impressions. We just know. We have a clear. We have a knowing. Is what.
Yeah, and so I'll write when I do this. So it could be even considered a little bit of channel writing, because I write what's coming to me. And then I sort it out later, and I put it in, you know, I put it in a format that's going to be understandable to the person I'm sending this to. And like I said, I'll write it down, and I'll think, huh, it's interesting that came out. You know, I'm not specifically looking for something, because I don't know what to look for when I don't know the person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just what comes. And I'll get little tidbits like, for instance, snake. I'll take that as a for instance.
Mm-hmm.
It can be all about going through a major difficult change in your life, or shedding away an old way of being for a new way of being. For instance, a huge career change, you know, a completely different career change. Snake could show up because someone's going to go from being, I don't know, say an accountant, to completely change over, and now they're going to become a personal trainer, you know.
Okay.
Polar shift of what they're
doing.
Yeah,
it is.
Or it also is an indicator of a health problem. And so just because snake shows up for two different people doesn't mean it means all those things. It could be, I'll very much get the impression that for this person, snake is really coming through on the health problem side, but for this person, it's really coming through on the life shift side.
Okay, I see. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that totally makes sense, because you're right. Snake does shed its skin and, you know, develop a new skin. Or I also was told that snakes sometimes, be careful of those around you. They may be sneaky. You know, that's when I get snakes.
Yeah, you know, I get my nose a little out of joint when people attach negatives to an animal. I guess just like in social profiling, there's always a backup style. So whatever that animal's particular backup tendency to be may also translate itself to that person, become that person's backup style too. But to me, no animal is bad. No animal is evil. No animal is negative. They're all pure, beautiful, non-egotistical beings that perfectly understand the circle of life and exist in it the way they should.
Exactly. You're right. Because if you do, profiling,
right.
You're right. I've heard that, you know, from different people that I've spoken with through the years. You know, watch with snake. And I'm like, okay, you know, snakes are not bad. They eat insects too.
they're actually very good. And some people that I've told have a snake. I have a good friend in Nairobi, who still has a hard time wrapping her head around the fact that one of her guides is a snake, because she's terrified of snakes.
Oh, yes.
And so she doesn't want to really hear it, but it's there for a reason. She's in a major, you know, changing part of her life, and she's evolving and growing. And so to me, it's perfectly natural that it's there, and I keep encouraging her, go pet a snake. They're not that bad.
No. No, one time I was walking with a friend of mine, and, you know, you see the garden snakes or whatever, the green snakes, and I wasn't afraid of it. She would not go near that park after that. I don't like snakes. They're scary. And I'm like, it's just a garden snake. It's not going to bite you. It's,
aww,
you know, up in
this area.
They
get a bad rap. You do have to be careful. I mean, anything in the wild, you have to respect and give it its space.
Exactly. We weren't even, like, 10 feet away from it. It was like she had seen it in the distance. I hadn't even seen it yet, you know, and she's, like, freaking out on me. I'm not coming to this park again. I just remember that. It's
funny.
Over there. It's not here.
And sometimes a huge fear of something is a key sign that that's a guide. Because
really? That's interesting.
Yeah,
the
huge fear of something could actually be the ego side of you resisting what it is you need to learn, or this thing that's going to be difficult to go through.
Interesting. I have a fear of spiders. You know, I don't like them. As long as they stay on their side of the corner of the room, I don't. Do you do insects too? Is that part of?
That's why I use the term critter, because it's kind of
okay.
All-encompassing. Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah. So I am like, I do not like. You know, I don't mind daddy long legs, but if they're a brown recluse spider, which we don't have in the Northeast here, I get a little fearful. Yeah, so I might be about weaving relationships. I don't know. But
well,
yeah,
it's weaving relationships. It's also the ability to articulate through written word.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Mastering your writing skills.
I'm a writer, too, so that makes total sense. Total sense. Yeah, how did you get the name Critter Doc? Who gave that name to you? I found that was really cool. I'm like, Critter Doc. Hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting. That was... a mentor of mine, Agnes Fellow, who is a very gifted individual in the Toronto area. I was doing some work with her several years ago to help my son, and for some reason along the way, she said, "Well, let's do a past life." She was going to do a past life regression on me to try and, you know, see if my past lives had something to do with what was going on now. And it was interesting at the time, and this was before any of my closet gift had come out of the closet, so to speak. We weren't focusing on that, and she didn't know anything about that side of me at all. She said, you know, whenever I read your energy, there's animals all around you. She said, there's animals all around your home, there's animals everywhere. And I thought, well, crud, is my house built on a pet cemetery? What's going on here? And then when she did a past life, she actually did a reading, went into my past life. She said, she wrote me back and she said, you wouldn't believe what I saw. She said, I see you in a life not too long ago. It looks like you're where you are now in the desert area or somewhere in the Southwest, and you're living on the fringes of a Native American village. You're not allowed to live with them, but you're on the fringes. You're a man, and you take care of all the animals, the wild animals and the Native Americans' animals. They bring them to you to be healed. You live alone with a dog. And she said, you're like a critter doc.
Oh.
And somehow she popped that out in Facebook, and it stuck. Other people picked it up, and she kept calling me that, so other people did. So it stuck. So it has nothing to do with what I'm doing right now. It has everything to do with a past life.
That is really fascinating, because I was looking at that. I said, huh. Because I know from reading your bio and everything, you do healing touch for the animals. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yep, I do. And so it's funny. It's like, I guess this is following me. And what I've done in the past is just, you know, after spending half my lifetime trying to do something else, I'm back to doing what I should be doing.
Isn't it amazing how everything comes full circle? We may suppress our gifts or deny them. Like, I did that for years, too. And then all of a sudden, it just comes out when you, you know, like you said, you went on Facebook and, you know, you just started getting messages. And I had a car accident. So isn't that cool how sometimes you can try to run from something, but when your purpose is really supposed to be on this path, it just comes out. And I just find it really fascinating that your purpose can just kind of bite you, so to speak. It just is there. You just can't deny it.
Well, I had a little awakening thing prior to that, which is why I even ended up on Facebook in the first place. I just became suddenly very open to, you know, kind of hit a wall one day and went, oh, my God, who am I? What am I? Been kind of living my life to be something everybody thinks I should be. And so I went and spent a few days in Sedona just to go through some healing and regenerating, and came away from there with the awakening, so to speak, you know, without getting too into it.
Yeah,
still hadn't really glommed on to the, you know, my gift of what I do with the animals, but I kept being told the similar things by people. It just wasn't coming out at the time, other than I was absolutely, I don't know how to explain. Well, you know how to explain. Yeah, I'm sure you know how it feels. It's like all of a sudden you feel alive again. And you feel like, oh, my gosh, where have I been? I've been sleeping all this time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, when I had my car accident back in 2000, because I had suppressed my gifts, I had two near-death experiences. This was my second one, I believe. Good the grief. First one, I don't remember it. It was like this one too. I was on my way home. I had a I went into anaphylactic shock, and I remember I knew when I woke from that state I was different, and I was alive because my gifts came out. You know, I saw spirit, felt it, and it was awakening. And it was because I didn't know if I was coming or going. I don't know if that's how you felt for a while, but I didn't know if I was coming or going.
Yeah. And you feel like you're being squeezed through a dark tunnel, and you pop out at the light end. It's like, oh,
that's a good way.
That's
here,
a good analogy.
Hallelujah! You know,
yeah,
that's a good analogy. It is like you're going through a dark tunnel, and then you see this light, which would happen to me. You know, I did see a light literally, and you know, you wake up, and I remember waking up in my hospital bed, and my mom is all upset because you know her baby. You know, I'm her youngest. I'm her baby. You know, she's like, "Oh my God, you had this car accident. Are you okay?" And the doctors almost lost you. And I'm like, "Mom, I think I had a near-death experience. That's all I remember was seeing this white light, and I had remembered I was transformed into somebody totally different. I felt like my life had changed. I knew from that moment on. I don't know if this was for you, which probably was. You were feeling your life has changed totally.
Yeah, it's. I remember, actually, I spent probably wasted several months, almost a year, kicking myself for feeling like I'd wasted half my life. And then, you know, then I come back to it. No, I didn't waste my life. That's just, you know, whatever's meant to be will be. And so I spent half my life doing things I was supposed to in this lifetime. But at some point, spirit, you know, stuck a finger down, poked me in the head and said, okay, wake up now. You know, you have to finish what you came here to do.
That's what I'm saying. Your purpose, you know, my life purpose, your life purpose, you know, just kind of, you had an awakening, Sedona. You know, I had a car accident because I'm so stubborn that when they get my attention, they better do it right. And I did.
Mm-hmm.
At the time. And it's amazing because, you know, to be of service to others, you love the animals, I love angels and spirit guides and helping others. You know, we're all on this path, and it's just amazing. So anyway, I'm sorry, I'm getting off topic here, but it really does when the animals, you have an affinity with animals, and I feel like, you mentioned the Native American. How, do you feel like connected to the Native American in any way now? Because I'm part Native American.
You know, I don't feel connected to a specific indigenous group, but I will tell you that, gosh, I don't know how to explain this. It's almost like every so often I kind of pull myself up and I look at this earth of ours is like this beautiful gem down there, and there's all these little lights around it that are these great hearts, and then there's like these pockets all over the world. And I do study shamanism quite a bit. I'm fascinated by the whole thing and by the fact that it doesn't matter where on this earth an indigenous group originated, as far back as time goes or records have gone or memories go, they have similar practices and beliefs. And it always involves the animal world. So I happen to be here where there's some, you know, wonderful Native American tribes and traditions that are kept alive around here. But I would just as much love to drop in the middle of Africa or Australia and study and, how do I say it? My respect for all of them are huge, just huge.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they're, some of their beliefs and their practices in honoring the natural world need to be kept alive.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I didn't know for years my dad is, his father was half Native American, and then, you know, and he's one whatever, 1/8, and I'm 1/16, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I always had, for me, I always had identified, we have Indian reservations, you know, here. You know, I'd go through, and I felt connected to the land. I felt connected to the people, and it was really odd. And then I found out my dad's like, oh, yeah, your grandfather was half Native. I'm like, oh, really? Thanks for sharing that with me, Dad. You know, and the animals, to me, I have a belief system where animals, to me, represent, even if I see an animal 3 times in 1 day, I know it's a message from the animal world.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
I don't know. It's really odd. I'll be paying attention. Like, I saw a woodpecker 3 times today. Just looked out. I have my office is in the back. I have a sliding glass door, and all my cats are here. It's odd that they're here. They must like you. They're never out here. And I just saw a woodpecker, and I thought, that's interesting. There might be a message. I have Animal Speak by Ted Andrews. That's the book I reference.
That's a great reference.
You know, I just, here he is again. It's amazing. I never saw this woodpecker before, and I've seen him 4 times now. So any messages?
Well, and you know, that is one of the things I'll tell people is that there's different animal guides, spirit, there's like 4 different levels of them.
Okay, well, can you explain that to us? Yeah, why don't we go into that a little bit, and go ahead. We're going to talk about you. This is your hour.
So when I tell people this is what I see as a seer, I see animals that are around them at this moment in time, and I try to explain to them one of them or none of them may be a totem. It doesn't matter. Right now, that particular animal or collection of animals are there to help you right now. A totem is one that has been there forever. That's kind of like the one that has the biggest influence on who you are, and they're with you a lifetime and sometimes more than a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of like the rock of all the animal guides. So, and that one's more difficult. For some people, that one is more difficult to find because it can be, you know, you can't see the forest for the trees, or the
mm-hmm.
trees for the forest sort of thing. But then as you go through different experiences in your life and through different life stages, different animals come in as they need to. They come and they go. So those are kind of your guides, if you will, your guides, your teachers.
Okay.
And then there's your, what I would call your familiars, which is ones that just by sheer the way your energy is, the way their energy is, and your totem around you, they're attracted to you. So they just kind of flutter in, flutter out, but they don't have as big an impact on, they all have a big impact, but they're more of a familiar. And so you'll always feel kind of like it might be your favorite toy that you're always buying
mm-hmm.
because you feel familiar with it. You feel comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. And then there's power animals. And power animals are a little like your totems, and they're kind of like the 1,000-pound gorilla that drops in when you really need it. Like it says, the power animal. So something that is going to give you great strength or power to get through maybe a major life stage or a whole life stage. So if you were to think of, put it in Native American terms, totem poles.
Mm-hmm.
The base of a totem pole, there's always the base of the totem pole and then the top part of the totem pole, and everything in between tells a story that describes that tribe.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Okay. That makes sense. That totally makes sense to me.
I can't necessarily tell someone who their totem is, but mm-hmm. I will see and sometimes I trip on it. It'll awaken something on them. I'll say, oh my gosh, yeah, you know what? I have always had an affinity with that, or I've always seen it, or it's always triggered something, or I saw it in some dreams. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So they'll get it. But some people need to go on journeys
mm-hmm.
to find their totem animals, or they just know. You know,
mm-hmm.
there's a difference between knowing and wanting.
Exactly. Like, I feel very close with Hawk. That's what mm-hmm. I like. The Hawk is something that I just know is around me. Hawk, and then, like I said, now this woodpecker, which I think is interesting. This thing keeps coming
right.
in and out. I never saw this thing before.
Isn't that funny?
It is weird. It's very, no, it's not. It's nothing is coincidental. It's, you know, it's in God or whatever you believe in.
Uh-huh.
You know?
And they will also come to you in dreams, and that's usually, you know, when they really are trying to get your attention, they get right in your face in a dream, and you may have that dream more than once. And it may even come under the form of a scary dream, you know, a bear chasing you in a dream. That's not a very comforting thought,
mm-hmm.
but it could very well be you're not listening. You're not getting the clues the other ways, and so they're coming at you this way. They don't mean any harm at all, but they're aggressively trying to get you to pay attention.
Mm-hmm. It's funny you mentioned that. I had a dream about a year ago where snakes do not bother me, but I had a dream that these little baby snakes were biting me. It was really odd, and I woke mm-hmm. up, and I'm like, what the heck was that? And it was just weird because I felt like somebody was trying to get my attention for some life changes I was going through at the time, so it's funny you mentioned snake today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, wow, that is really cool. So how can we use these totems? Let's say we go maybe to a, you know, some people go to sweat lodges, you know, and I've done that, you know, and they see their totem animal. Or how can we use them in our daily lives?
Well, begin by honoring it.
Okay.
So once you've discovered who your totem is or your guides are, even your guides, honor them by carrying something with you or having them around you in some way, shape, or form. You may find out you've been doing it subconsciously all along when you start paying attention. But, you know, it might be as simple as carrying a stone in your pocket with an etching on it or a stone that is representative of that guide. It could be having a little figurine, a picture, a necklace, a bracelet, a ring, something. Honor it, you know, recognize it and honor it. But then learn as much as you can about that creature and that animal. So you don't have to be a special seer or shaman or spiritual person to get that side of it. As long as you accept that you have this guide, you are open to it, and you open your heart to it, now learn about the animal. The things that you learn about that animal will be things you start learning about yourself and what that animal is trying to do for you.
Yeah, my dad used to have eagles all over the house. He loved eagles. He loved them. He loved, you know, and that's all we, they still have them at their house. And I thought that was odd. I'm going to have to look that up now and see what he has
yeah,
to
so
learn.
If you look that up, and, you know, I can pipe, you know, say things off the top of my head, but without seeing a picture of your dad or knowing your dad, I'm not necessarily going to say the right things. But if you look up, you know your dad very well, so if you look up, okay, why was he so fascinated with eagles? Now go and learn as much as you can about the eagle. You'll start finding, probably find some similarities between that eagle and your dad or between the eagle and the things in your dad's life. He might have been a great visionary. He might have been, you know, somebody who was, you know, didn't realize that he could, his sharp tongue could actually cut to the quick, but he'd love you guys to death and hold you close, maybe too close, was able to see things from far off and very, very narrowed in his attention, focused on what he wants to get.
Oh, you described my father to a T without knowing him and or seeing a picture of him. You just described him to a T. That's my father.
So that was his totem.
Yes, it was. It was odd because, you know, we they live in a suburb of Buffalo. And, you know, you pull up to the driveway and you see eagle on the house. And then you go and you see eagles all over the house and you're like, okay. And it's just funny you mention that because eagle, I had a dream one time that eagle was coming to me, and you know, trying to fly up near me. And my father became ill for a while. So it was really odd, you know, that I had that dream. And then he was diagnosed with some health issues, you know, last September. So it was really weird. It's weird how dreams come into play now that you mention that.
Yeah, I call it dream space, and because sometimes it's a dream and sometimes it's not a dream. I know the difference. A lot of people don't, but if you just start putting into perspective, if something happens and it's extremely vivid, you can't shake it for the rest of the day, and it even happens again, and you can absolutely say, this is not because I watched a show, or this is not because of a conversation I had at work today. It's just something that seems to be out of the blue and yet leaves you either shaken or really thinking about it hard. This is a message.
Yes, it is. I believe our dreams, you know, like I said, if I see an animal or a bird or something three times or more, I know it's a message from spirit. I know it's a message from the heavens. I know it's a message for me to look at something. Like I said, Ted Andrews, Animal Speak, that's a really good book. Any other suggestions for people who really want to, any books or anything that you can, besides?
You know, his are my favorite, and I'll tell you why I love his books, the Animal Speak. There are others out there that are good, don't get me wrong, but I love his because he did his research the way I would have. He looked around the whole world. He doesn't have a biased opinion. And if you've read through Animal Speak and some of the descriptions on animals, he may include, you know, everything from folklore to three different indigenous tribe beliefs on this particular animal, and as well as the natural traits of the animals. So I feel that, you know, his rendition of, or his information on animals and what they may be trying to say to you, you're going to get the most well-rounded picture of what that animal is trying to say to you from his words, because he's not going off of anything biased or anything that he was taught or his own personal opinion. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He has some of that in there too from experience, but I think Ted Andrews is wonderful.
I got his tarot deck. It's called the Animal Wise Tarot.
Mm-hmm.
That was an awesome. I love using that deck. That's my personal deck, and I'll use it in case I used to work with it extensively. I've gotten away from it, but there is some wonderful, even that deck of cards, that tarot deck, and that book, the book that accompanies with it, is wonderful too. So those are two resources that I've used in my years of doing this work. Because sometimes clients will come to me and say, hey, Amy, I got this animal that came to me in a dream, like squirrel, for example, you know, and I keep seeing squirrels. Okay, well, you need to save money. Squirrel away from winter.
And it can mean a lot of things. Another good one, if you like to use decks, is the Druid Animal Oracles.
Oh, okay. Because our audience...
It's another perspective, and the other thing we didn't touch on that I will mention is sometimes I see animals that are considered mythological. We call them mythological because they don't exist right now, but that's not to say they didn't exist some other time or on some other realm. So if they show up for a person, like a dragon, sometimes I see fairies with people, and it'll be a crisscross between a dragonfly or a fairy, which are kind of essentially the relations of each other.
Unicorn. I have a friend in Australia that loves unicorns. So she's fascinated with unicorns,
And that's the and there's some wonderful stories around the mythology of these things, but there's also, I think there's definitely messages in there. They're just older. You know, to me, if a dragon shows up, this is a deep-rooted, older critter that's coming because the more modern version of it isn't strong enough, so the older version comes through.
And would that include, this maybe a gargoyle? Is that another thing that may show up, too?
I haven't seen that, because that's more humanoid. But I've seen, they're definitely animals, mythological animals.
Okay. Just throwing that out there. People want to contact you on spiritanimalwisdom.com. What kind of services do you offer people? What do they need? How can they contact you? So on and so forth, besides the website. What do they need if they maybe have an animal that's in crisis?
They can contact me directly, critterdoc1@cox.net, by email.
Okay.
Or they can phone 602-317-1543. For animals, I do healing touch for animal work. I do energy transferring work with them. And I do intuitive wellness checks with animals as well, meaning laying hands on the critters and can get a feel for their overall general wellness, whether or not there's an issue that needs to be paid attention to. And I also do communication work with them. So sometimes for pet owners, it just helps bridge the gap of understanding between them and their pet, whether it's behavioral or just curious to know what their pet is feeling or thinking. I can help with that.
Okay. Yeah, because I have four interesting cats. They're all different personality.
Yeah.
I love cats. We rescued all four of these poor little things. And one is not using the litter box.
Well, I've had some folks send me a picture. Obviously, I prefer to be hands-on and, up close and personal with the critter, and I do barn visits. I work with horses. I work with everything. But sometimes that's not possible. So, a good, clear picture of the animal, and just like a person where I can see its face and eyes, I can help them as well.
Okay, so getting back to the healing touch for animals, I was listening to a couple prior broadcasts on another you have on your website. How do you how do you know if they need what kind of how do you know they need a maybe a remedy or something? Can you explain that? How do you tune into that? That's amazing.
Well, I read the energy in their bodies. I also do chakra checks on the animals.
Oh.
They have chakra systems just like we do, and so I'll use I'll use that kind of pendulum and energy work to check their chakra system, see if there's any stoppages or sluggishness in any of their systems. Sometimes it's just a case of getting it moving, and depending on where I find the energy snags, if you will, mm-hmm. in their body, knowing that part of their physiology and just understanding what areas of their body that can be affecting, I can make recommendations. Often it revolves around diet,
mm-hmm.
Or diet remedies, or it revolves around needing to have the energy of certain stones with the animal.
Oh, really? Like people?
Use of
okay.
Yeah, or use of essential oils to help
okay.
with different
oh,
things.
Oh, wow. All right. Cool. Yeah.
So I'll make those recommendations. And then, of course, direct energy work is work as well in working with that animal's energy field to heal it and smooth it out. They're very good at healing themselves. And so when I work with them, I'm not zapping something special into them. What I'm doing is connecting with their energy, sharing energy back and forth so they can start getting their own energy system moving the way it should.
That is amazing. Wow. Yeah, we do animals and have the ability to heal themselves. They are wonderful.
Much better than we do. We can do it, too. We just close our mind to it. We get all freaked out about things and close our mind to it. Animals, once they get, except for when they're scared and backed in a corner, they're very good at healing themselves.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, they are. They're amazing. And sometimes I feel like they heal us, too, in some way.
Absolutely. So
just
when I work with animals, I get just as much from it as I'm giving. So I absolutely adore the work because I love their energy. I love the sharing of energy back and forth.
Yes, they are beautiful. They really, like I said, I have my cats around here. I think they like your energy. They're just hanging out and one's snoring away here.
Good.
Our newest one, Crystal, she's something else. We just got her in February, so she's had some time acclimating to the dynamic trio, I call it. because we had three. We had the original two. Then we got another one. And then we got Crystal because her owner was going into a nursing home. So we got
Wesley
her
for
and
taking
she,
in the rescues.
Yeah. And they all have their issues. It's amazing. Now, Kay, our second one we got, our girl, she had abandonment issues. And she was just scared. I mean, I think she was all feral. But now she could care. She's part of the family. She hangs out with my fiance. It's just amazing how, after a while, they just come out of their shells. But they do have issues, like we do. I feel anyway.
And rescues tend to have more than others. And I think a lot of the animals that I've been called in to work with, most of them are rescues because they kind of come with baggage that the new humans don't know about. So it helps them to know how to deal with their new pet now if they can figure out a little bit of what's gone on prior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and sometimes it's a simple case of reassuring the animal that, once I understand what's gone on prior, it's a simple case of doing some bridging work and reassuring with them to say, okay, well, this is not the way it is anymore. Your new owner loves you. This is your forever home. And this is your job in this home now, and describe what this is.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Crystal's having a hard time finding her place yet, so I'll have to work with her, because she, the other three don't accept her yet, but she used to beat the crap out of them, so.
Yeah, and I mean, they like to find their pecking order, and to a degree, you have to let some of that work itself out, to a healthy degree, but you also, as the head of the household, you need to have a say in how things are worked out, too.
Well, she would beat up on Chester. He's our whiner. So she would get mad at him, and she'd go and run after him. It's so funny. Now Chester and her are hanging out together. It's really odd how the relationships with the animals.
Yeah.
I mean, I've just seen how they've evolved over the past 3 years since we've had them. you know, like I said, some have been more readily accepted than others, but mm-hmm. she'll find her place. She will. She's a beautiful cat. She's a tuxedo kitty, and I love her. I love my animals, and I feel, I had a friend who, I think, when I talked to you initially, my best friend Tammy, who passed away, she was a vet. She's a veterinarian student. She's always bringing home strays. And I learned that from her, that they are the best animals. They really are rescues. I feel once they are settled and everything, they really become your best friends.
They're so grateful to be rescued.
Oh, yeah, but I love them, too. They bring such joy to my life, you know.
Yeah,
and I'm home working. And, you know, you have a cat that comes up to you and meows and wants attention, and you got another one that... They're just beautiful, and I love watching them. I've learned so much to chill out with them because I'm a type A personality. Just hang out with Crystal for a couple hours, and you'll chill out. I really do love the animals. But, Andrea, this has been a wonderful experience. I did say people could call in if they wanted to. Would you mind if some people had some – we got a few minutes. If they wanted some questions, would you mind answering those?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm just going to give the numbers out. Sometimes the number, you know, are, like I said, it depends on the day of the week. The number for the U.S. and Canada, if you want to talk to Andrea, it's 1-888-627-6008. And outside the U.S. and Canada, our international callers, it's 530-413-4522. And like I said, you can find Andrea at spiritanimalwisdom.com. She gave out some numbers, and before we close the show, we can give out those again, okay? So do you find that working with animals are easier to work with than humans?
Now, that's a silly question, of course. However,
of course, Amy, of course.
Well, having said that, I think I'm very good working with people, and I like working with people because I see that side of them anyways.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I adjust myself to relate to them the way the critters surrounding them suggest to me they need to be related to.
Mm-hmm.
So I usually see the good side in most people. You know, every so often, nobody likes dealing with difficult people, but I do work with people as well, and I do energy and healing work with people as well. And it really helps if I'm working with people that, you know, are open-minded to the whole connection to the earth and the animal world, and that we're not we're not different from the animal kingdom. We're part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it makes my work with them that much more effective, I think, if we at least kind of see eye to eye on that level, and they accept that, because I call in the energy from animals to, so that's a little bit of the shamanic side of what I do, is I do call in help when I need it to work with people.
Yeah, and I have a friend of mine who
caller
says,
line 3.
Okay, well, we have a caller.
Okay.
Okay, hello?
Hello?
Hi, who am I speaking with?
How are you?
Good, how you doing?
Oh, I'm not bad. I just want to make the comment that the reason I'm egoless is because all of my life I've felt that I was an eagle flying around, and I've had visions of flying up in the air, and when I started to land, I would get tangled up in the telephone wires and all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
And my totem is a wolf.
Uh-huh.
You have another caller as well waiting.
And I was wondering if you would explain some of that for me.
The wolf?
The wolf and what the eagle stands for me.
Well, it's interesting that you talked about feel yourself getting tangled in the wires of as you're coming to Earth with your eagle spirit guide. It's teaching you to stay connected with the earth, but at the same time be able to traverse in the heavens. And getting tangled in the wires could almost be a little bit of your of the eagle message telling you you're having trouble keeping your feet on the ground. You're having trouble. You're very connected at the higher level, but you need to. You also need to be able to come back down to earth, so to speak, and be connected with what's important on this, you know, on the earthly plane. With your wolf and your vision when you're up there, you probably feel the best when you're soaring and you can see the overall picture, and that's a huge gift. But the eagle in its full capacity can zero in on what's important, see the big picture, and then zero in on the minute detail of what's important to focus on and grab hold of.
I can do that good.
Okay.
I can do
your
that
wolf,
very good.
Good. And then your wolf is, to me, wolf often, and it sounds like with you, this is a relationship call. Wolves are usually, people stereotype them as the lone wolf, but more correctly, wolves are extremely social. They're actually a very romantic creature in that they seek out, build, and retain strong relationships in love and in life and in family. They're also very territorial and will constantly look for, assess, and protect the boundaries of their life and the people that they care for.
Awesome. Uh-huh. Well, thank you. Thank you for all that. And
thank you for calling.
Let somebody else be-
Yeah, we have another
okay.
caller, so thank you for calling. Thank you. Okay, we have another caller. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, yes, who am I speaking with?
Lori.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm in Northern California.
Oh.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, honey. What's your question for our beautiful animal seer today?
I'm calling about my little chihuahua. His name is Casanova. And what I thought he had was fleas, and it's not fleas. There's no fleas. But he is going crazy scratching, and I thought maybe mites or whatever. But I can't find anything. I've sprayed, what have you. And I've got a doctor appointment for him this afternoon, but I'm worried that, you know, with the radiation and all, could it be in his bloodstream, or is it internal, or what's going on with him?
You know,
he's just going bananas.
Is it? And how old is your chihuahua?
He's almost six.
He's almost six. Is this the first time he's gone through this?
Yes.
And have you always lived
in this
spot where you are?
It's only been about 2 months now, but like I said, at first I thought it was just fleas.
Yeah.
But all he does is
scratch.
Chew on his legs and his little butt, and his hair's starting to get thinner just from this.
Okay. There's a couple of things, and I'm glad you're taking him to the vet, because that's always the first place to start. But on the light side, it could just be very allergy-related. And
uh-huh.
He may have developed allergies, environmental allergies, whether you've changed something in your, it could be as simple as your cleaning products. It could be something that's growing in the area that he's developed an allergy to, just like humans do. Pets do it too. The chewing on his legs and butt also suggests to me a little bit of anxiety going on, chewing on their legs.
Yeah, and he's rolling around on his back, you know, just.
Yeah,
just
so he's itchy all over by the sounds of it. So it's probably allergy related. It can also be that his skin is just really dry. You know, and chihuahuas being a short-haired animal, they can
That oatmeal conditioner, and
good.
I've been putting that on to him, and that didn't seem to help either.
And the other thing you may want to try is putting, and he's such a small critter, maybe a half a teaspoon of olive oil in his food daily, and make sure his food is very pure and whole, so not too many ingredients and not too many fillers or wheat in the food.
Okay.
So if you look at
brands,
wellness.
Yeah, I just thought it was ironic because I finally got an appointment with the doctor, and then I turned on PBS and there you were, and I thought, oh,
yeah.
It's meant to be.
Well, okay, so, you know, in something like that, it's not a life-threatening situation. It's an irritating situation. I would try some natural methods first, and the vet will probably have you put them on some different food, but you can get fabulous food at your local Petco or PetSmart. Wellness Brand is a very good choice. Wolf King is a very good choice. Read the labels. Organic is good. Stay away from things that have wheat in it, corn in it, things that typically would be an allergen to human can be an allergen to dogs too, and you may want to give him fish-based, like a salmon-based food or a buffalo-based food for a while.
Okay, I'll have to try that.
Yeah, and the olive oil will be really good for him.
Olive oil, all right. I have some of that. I'll try it.
Okay.
I hadn't even thought of that.
We have to cut this call short. I didn't mean to.
Okay.
Our time's running short, but if you want to find Andrea, where is your website again?
It's www.spiritanimalwisdom.com.
And excellent. Well, thank you so much for everyone who called, and thank you once again, Andrea, for coming on and educating us. I learned a lot myself today, so thank you so much. And
you're very welcome.
And I'll be talking to you soon. Thank you so much, and have a great day, everyone.
You too. Bye.
Bye.